August 8th, 2005, item number 72. Today's guest is Franklin McMahon from the Media Artist Secrets Podcast.
Podcast411.com. Listen different.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 Podcast. Before we get into our interview with Franklin from Media Artist Secrets Podcast, I have a couple quick news and notes. First off, I'd like to apologize for missing the show on Saturday. That's the first time I've missed one since May, beginning of May, I guess. But I think I had a pretty good excuse. On Wednesday, I received an email from Adam Curry, the Podfather himself, asking if I would be willing to guest host one night on Sirius Satellite for him. Obviously, I said yes. Make you an offer you can't refuse. And I spent Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and part of Sunday getting that all put together. I went out. I interviewed 14 different podcasters specifically for the show. I get a four-hour block, and it will be airing this Wednesday, August 10th, at 6 o'clock Eastern Time on Sirius Satellite, channel 148. I want to give Adam a lot of credit here. One, I'm not part of the Podshow family, and he asked me outside of the Podshow family to help out. But out of the seven people he asked, two others, so three of the seven, were not part of the Podshow network. He asked Tim Henson from Distorted View Daily, and he asked Wichita Rutherford from 5 Minutes with Wichita. None of the three of us are part of the Podshow family. Again, I'd like to thank Adam for the opportunity and also for asking people that just aren't part of Podshow and sharing the wealth. So I appreciate that. And I know the other podcasters do too, especially the 14 that I asked to come on the show with me. Now, on Friday morning, though, I thought for a few minutes my life was over. I got up Friday morning early after being up late Thursday night into Friday morning to work on the Podshow. I had gotten the first hour. I have to do four different hours. I had the first hour almost completely done. My computer's in sleep mode. I come into the office, turn the light on, pop, the circuit breaker trips. So I go, I reset it, I come back, and my computer is locked, frozen, dead. It won't start up at all. The power light's on it. This is my new G5. And I'm going, oh my God, what's going on here? This is about 6:30 in the morning at this point. And I'm looking, I think maybe I'll disconnect all the cables. I tried everything. I couldn't get it. I'm looking through the manual. I'm looking online. I'm not finding anything. I knew when I had bought it, I was close at this point to the 90 days. You get the free 90 days support. But I didn't know how close. Well, I go ahead and at 8 o'clock, my time, when Apple support, tech support gets in, I give them a call. I was at day 88. So I got the free tech support. I'm very grateful for that. I talked to Trey Howe from Apple Tech Support in Austin, Texas. And Trey, within a matter of 2 minutes, was able to show me where to go into the G5 in this hidden little nook and cranny and reset the PRAM. So Trey, you are my guardian angel. You saved my neck and made this whole Podshow thing happen for me, because without my G5, I don't think I would have gotten it all put together. My PowerBook just wouldn't have been up to it. Not in that short a period of time. So thanks, Trey. On a separate subject, this Saturday, the Kansas City Podcasters Meetup will take place. So if you're in the Kansas City area, we are going to be meeting on the plaza, Tom Fullery's, Saturday, August 13th at 4 p.m. And also, if you're in the Kansas City area, look for the podcasting article in the Pitch Weekly that comes out this Wednesday, August 10th. I hope to see everybody from the Kansas City area that's interested in podcasting, not just the podcasters, but listeners also at this meetup. Again, August 13th, 4 p.m., Tom Fullery's on the plaza. If you have questions about that, send an email to rob@podcast411.com. And finally, before we get into our interview with Franklin, I would just like to say congratulations, Franklin, for winning the Podcast Awards for Best Business Podcast. We're going to go ahead and play a promo for Media Artist Secrets and then get right into the interview. Here we go.
Make it happen and make it big. Your creative career starts right now. You're listening to Media Artist Secrets, the podcast.
Hello, this is Franklin McMahon. Media Artist Secrets, the podcast for the creative professional, is a fast-paced and fun show that has one mission: to develop your creative career. We cover all media arts, including directing, photography, web design, desktop publishing, musician, music creation, artists, animators, broadcasters, movie makers, film, and many other types of media. We're also perfect for traditional artists who want to make it happen. No matter what you do, if you are creative, this is the show to check out. Media Artist Secrets is about getting to the top of your field and dramatically advancing your career via self-development. Join me, Franklin McMahon, and let's get your career rocking and rolling today.
Visit us on the web at mediaartist.com.
Check it.
Franklin, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me.
And you can guess what's coming here, and that is, what was your first computer?
Oh, my first computer. It was a Radio Shack color computer. I think it was, is that the TRS-80?
TRS-80 Coco. That was
Coco.
Yep, the Coco.
Oh, yeah. That was my first entry into it. I did a lot of, I was pretty obsessed with adventure games back in the day, and I was doing some games, writing them in BASIC with loops, and it was just, it was taking forever. So I had that for a little while and had some games. I think it was cartridge-based or something. Mm-hmm. Then I pretty quickly moved to the Commodore 64 and then later the Commodore 128.
I started out similar. I was a Coco person to start with, and then I moved, just couldn't handle the keyboard. In programming, it was just so tough, and then I had other friends that had gotten into the Atari 800, and then I moved on to the Atari 800, and was an Atari 800 person for many, many years. I actually still have it. It still works.
Oh, wow. Very, very retro. I'd like to have one of those. I was actually a sysop, which is what you used to call, you know, people online on Quantum Link. I was sysop FM, Real Frank was my other name, and I was in charge of the game section on Quantum Link, which was an online service which blossomed to AOL. Years down the line, it turned into AOL, and I would write text adventure games. A couple of them are Damsels in Distress and Q-Link in Peril, which was an adventure game about Quantum Link. And we did a big forum with characters from the game on Quantum Link one night and had people asking questions and stuff. And actually, it's funny because I went to find the C64 emulator, and I found some of my old games from, you know, decades ago, and I couldn't even get through them, but I'm still trying. And then I moved on to the Amiga, and that's when it really took off for me, the Amiga 1000.
So you have geek or nerd tattooed on the inside of your lip.
Pretty much. I think... you know, I was always kind of obsessed with computers and doing stuff with them. And I would say the Amiga was like, that was the golden years. Because that's when it was the big breakthrough. I mean, people were on IBMs with 16 colors. And I had an Amiga 1000. I was actually working in television at the time, working in cable TV. And I was doing graphics and video. And I had a video toaster. And I was actually writing at the time for this Amiga magazine, Amazing Computing. And it was just such a great time. It was probably the most excited I've been in the computer era. So, yeah, I guess I have a long history of computers. I'm letting that out there, so, well, and I'm not ashamed.
What was the first podcast you listened to?
The first podcast was Accident Hash, CC Chapman, and actually I knew CC because I run this group on the East Coast. It's called Portland Media Artists. We have a message board, portlandmediaartist.com, and he's done filmmaking and I've done filmmaking, and we kind of corresponded. He would post on the board, you know, for auditions and stuff and casting, and so we kind of connected that way. And then one day, and I printed out the email, and it was January 12th, he sent a message to my group. This is a Yahoo group, Portland Media Artists, and he said, hi all, not sure how many of you heard of the term podcasting, but it's something that got started last year and has really taken off. And then he talks about his new music podcast, Accident Hash, and there's a link, you know, check out my first episode. Well, as you know, CC's just went on to huge, huge things. So he's the one who really introduced me to it, and that was the first time I listened to a podcast. After that, I listened to, you know, I got into Daily Source Code and Dawn and Drew and, you know, all the usual suspects. But he was the one who introduced me, and his enthusiasm and Adam Curry's enthusiasm really got me fired up, got me really geared up to do my own and to get in there, because that's a lot of what podcasting is. It's getting your passion out there and, you know, getting people to respond to that.
What podcasts are you listening to now on a regular basis?
I love your show, and I'm not just saying that because I'm on your show. I love hearing the kind of embryonic stages of people who kind of develop the show, and I think you do a good job of kind of saying, you know, how did you start, how did you get ignited by this, and where are you heading with it, and the diversity, too, of people you've had on your show. You know, it's great. It shows a good scope of different, you know, people doing this stuff. As far as shows I listen to on a regular basis, The M Show is one of my favorites, John Wall, and he does a great job. It's tight, it's fun, and it's got a lot of stuff that gets you thinking, and
I don't know. I just think it's a cool, it's my definition of a really well produced, tight, good show. Something that just keeps, you know, moving along.
I really like that show, and it's in my subscription base, and John is a great guy.
Tips from the Top Floor, which is a photography podcast. My friend Chris does that. That's a great one. That's another really well produced show. Daily Source Code, of course. Geek News Central. I just started listening to Point, which is a Mac audio podcast. I just started listening to it, but it's pretty dense in technical stuff, which I like. The Prepared Mind, which is about graphic design. I just started listening to that, which is really cool. DVD Talk Radio, and one other one, which I started listening to. It's called Feeling Doing. This woman, Fran, emailed me and said, I like your podcast. I'm mentioning you on my show. So, of course, I had to listen. And the show is about occupational therapy. And she talked about her best patients and her worst patients in the show that I recently listened to. And it kind of got me thinking about podcasting, which to me has been kind of fun. And let's get the word out and, you know, let's play some music, PodSafe, you know, all this other stuff. But this show actually got me thinking about the importance of podcasting and getting information out about therapy, which is, I don't know, it's just, I kind of just stumbled into Fran's world, and I'm listening to it now. I'm a fan. It's good to learn about stuff that I don't know about, as opposed to the, you know, the geek stuff and the music and everything. I don't know. It was just really cool, and it's prompted me to explore more. There's podcasts about all different topics, and there's going to be it's just going to expand from here on in.
Let's talk about your podcast a little bit. Explain to the listeners what they're going to hear when they tune in.
My podcast is called Media Artist Secrets, mediaartist.com, and it's the podcast for the creative professional. And it's basically, the mission is to help creative artists advance their career. I always say make it big. I throw a little drama in there and, you know, make your career big. And it does help. I get emails every day of people who are like, I listen to your podcast. You know, I'm a web designer and I work at this firm and I've been wanting to leave, but you convinced me to kind of trim my hours back and do this side project. And now that's really taken off. And I'm getting great feedback about prompting people to do what they really want and to have the careers they really want. And we, you know, it's kind of generic. It can be applied to any creative artist, a painter, an artist, programmer, musician, filmmaker, you know, anyone doing creative arts, and even geeks. I mean, geeks are a huge part of my audience. I mean, people who are immersed in technology, you know, it's like, a lot of the artists aren't wired to promote and market themselves. And it's not a business show. It's a lot more fun and deeper than that. It's really about creating the lifestyle and the, you know, the creative lifestyle that you really want and being compensated for that, being, you know, achieving a career that is, you know, where you want it to be.
Compensation is good.
There is nothing wrong with the skills to pay the bills, yes. And I think that, you know, I did a topic a few shows back about raising your rates. You know, people tend to, a lot of so creative people lowball themselves and charge stuff because they want to, you know, they need the work, you know. And then I was like, you know, inch up your rates, you know, charge more. And I got an email about a guy who, like, you know, doubled his rates just to test it. He ended up, his current customers said, yeah, you're worth it. And he ended up getting new clients because it was just much more of a worth. You know, at the lower price, it didn't seem like that much. So, but it's really, the show's about helping people who are creative advance in their careers and make it big and make it happen. And it's fun. I love doing it. I get all cranked up. I have a coffee or two or an energy drink and I just go crazy.
I was listening to it and I was like trying to, okay, how do I describe it? I was like, when listening to the different shows, I thought of it, you know, tips on business, common sense, practical advice, and strategy. Mm. Were those things that you were going after when you were creating this show?
Yeah, I think, you know, I guess the hook was, you know, creative artists, because a creative artist doesn't normally go, they go to the creative section of the bookstore, for example. They go to the Photoshop, Dreamweaver, you know, they're looking at stuff, they're getting inspired, but they're walking right past the business section. And this is a business. Make no mistake, if you are a creative artist, you are in business to expand your audience, to get the word out, to advance your career, to sustain yourself and have the lifestyle that you want. You want to be able to make money at what you love doing. If you love, you know, doing podcasts, if you love creating, if you love directing movies on digital video, you know, you want to be able to make a living doing that. And the way you start doing that is by treating it like a business. It's not a hobby. I mean, it can start as a hobby and it's fine to have it as a hobby, But you want to make sure it expands into a business so you can sustain yourself, be compensated. So, you know, it's a business show for creative artists because, like I say, creative artists are not wired. They're humble. They're like, yeah, my stuff's pretty good. But you got to be like, you know, yeah, my stuff kicks it. You know, it's like, my stuff is awesome. Here's my card. Check out my website. Let's do lunch. You know, you got to really push it and pimp yourself and market yourself. And the great things happen, especially if you have some talent. Actually, you don't even need talent. The people who make it are the people who push and persevere and want more. It's not the people with the most talent. I wish it was the people with the most talent.
How have your customers taken to your podcast? Have you gotten any feedback from your customers?
Well, that's a good question. I actually got an email because there was a guy who's I believe he's a designer who also wanted to do a podcast, but he didn't want his clients to hear it because he wanted to be free to... I'm like, dude, you can't be anonymous on the web. It's just not going to happen. He's like, you know, he wanted to be free to discuss, which is, you know, very expressive. You want to be free to discuss what you want to discuss, but you want to keep clients kind of separate. And I told him, I said, mix it up because clients are, first of all, going to be impressed that you're doing a podcast and they'll learn from you. They'll look at you, look toward you as an expert. So to answer your question, my customers and my clients love it. They listen, they kind of stumble on it. They go onto my fmstudio.com website, which is kind of my professional site. And I have a link to my podcast and they start listening to it and it gets them all, you know, riled up. They love it. So it hasn't been a conflict for me because it's kind of a little bonus, you know, thing I can offer my clients in addition to doing, you know, photography and design and multimedia and all that stuff. Most of the people really enjoy it. And most of the people are creative. A lot of my clients are creative and have enterprises that, you know, involve things like creative photography. So they respond to something that is creative and helps them. So far it hasn't been an issue. And it's kind of touchy because actually in my podcast, I talk about ways to work your business, which directly applies to how I'm working some of the clients. So that's a little touchy, but I guess the way I'm doing it is to keep it real. This is me. This is who I am. I can't really keep it separate. I think my clients respect that. And they respect me as a business person, too. They know where I stand, and I don't sugarcoat it for them. I would tell them anything on my podcast, I would pretty much tell them in person. And they know that. So, you know, it's all me, my podcast, my website.
When you're creating your podcast, what are you using hardware and software-wise to record, edit, and do your whole show?
My early shows, I started off with a Laptech mic, which I think cost about $5, and it sure sounded like it. I don't know. I was just kind of, you know, getting out there, and I was recording it. I used Propaganda initially, which is a program, but it had some limitations, and it didn't do RSS feeds that well. I haven't checked an update. They might have improved it. You can only do one show and replace it, which I didn't think was that good. So anyway, upgraded to MXLV63. I'm just looking at the mic right now. I upgraded to a new mic. I used Adobe Audition to do all the recording, all the mixing, all the sound and everything. It's a great program. Highly recommend it for creating podcasts. I tried Audacity for a while. That's a pretty good program. And I use a Sony Acid Pro 5 to do some of the music and some of the loops. And it's all kind of self-contained.
What advice would you like to offer to those starting a podcast today?
I would say jump in and do it. Don't think about it. You'll learn as you go along. There's people who jump in and do it. Obviously, there's a lot of people who are jumping in and doing it. I have a friend who's, you know, he's working on intro. I have a couple people, actually. They're working on intros. They're doing their show notes. They're doing some brainstorming. That, you know, this has been going for weeks. You know, the way to do it, it's kind of like swimming. You just dive in. Hopefully, you have someone to help you with the technical stuff or you know the technical stuff. And if you don't know the technical stuff, find someone who can help you. You know, it's fun for other people to help other people. So I would say the best thing is to dive in, do it quickly, and learn as you progress, because you'll find about the third show, you'll really start to nail it, and you can't learn that ahead of time. If you try to like be really professional, it'll be kind of stiff. The other part of that advice is to pick a topic that you're passionate about, and it might be a niche area. It could be gardening. It could be something. You know, something you're passionate and you really, really care about, you will get people listening big time. Because if it's something you really care about, people respond. Chances are other people care about that too. So dive in, just do it, and have your topic be something you really, really care about and you're really passionate about.
Great advice. And don't underestimate the power of a niche. If you try to be everything to everybody, you'll be nothing to no one.
Yeah. That is great advice, yes.
Pick a niche.
Niches are huge.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry about being a universal podcast. If you have a local market, podcast to the local market. Ed Roberts, Kansas City Weather Podcast. Great podcast. If you're not outside Kansas City, it probably is not appropriate for you. But it's a great podcast if you're in this area. I listen to it every day. And he's got quite a few listeners. And as more people listen in regional areas, local regional niches will become more and more prevalent, and you'll have more and more listeners.
And you'll have more listeners who are really into it. With generic stuff that covers everyone, you know, you may listen, people drop off, resubscribe, whatever. But if you have a niche that people are into, you will keep that audience. You will have them hooked, and they won't unsubscribe. They'll keep listening because they're into it just as much as you.
Absolutely. So if your fetish is wearing Lego outfits, hey, there's probably someone else that has that fetish.
That's a good idea. Let's work on that. What the heck? Maybe it'll motivate people to do their own wacky fetish podcast.
I came up with the Lego outfit fetish idea in Kansas a long time ago when I was single. They have the fetish ball in Kansas City, and people go in all these leather outfits. And I thought as a spoof, I was going to put together an outfit made out of Legos, and that was going to be my fetish outfit. And I never followed through on it because I couldn't figure out how to keep it together.
Exactly. But I think the lesson here, Rob, is don't underestimate the eroticism of Legos.
Yes. Well, Franklin, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Rob.
Well, that concludes our interview with Franklin McMahon from the Media Artist Secrets podcast. Please check out his podcast at mediaartist.com. Franklin, thanks again for coming on the show. It was a blast talking with you. Coming up at the end of today's show, we're going to play a promo from Halo 2 Talk podcast. So please stick around to listen to that. And if you have a promo you'd like to have played at the end of one of our shows, please send those promos to podcast411@gmail.com. Coming up on our next show, our guests will be Cruisebox, and they are the musical group that performed the song That Podcast Song. If you're not familiar with that song, we'll be playing it on the next podcast. Well, that's going to do it for us today. As always, I'm your host, Rob, from Podcast 411, reminding you to listen different.
Hey, this is Bagel Star.
Hey, this is War Machine.
We want you to listen to our Halo 2 Talk podcast,
where we cover Halo news,
Bungie happenings,
strategies,
glitches,
interviews,
and that low-life cheating scum.
And everything else Halo or Bungie related.
So go to our website now and subscribe to Halo 2 Talk
at www.haloforefathers.com.
Bluesman.